Hi, and welcome to the Church Unlimited podcast. Church Unlimited is a vibrant, Bible-based church in North Lakes, Queensland that is passionate about helping people discover the genuine love of Jesus. If you're currently looking for a home church, we would love for you to join us for Sunday worship. For more information about our Sunday service or to find out how we can best help you, head to our website at churchunlimited.com.au. We hope you enjoy this message from Sunday service.
Hey, I had a few weeks ago, I had the privilege of preaching on our Church on Mission series around belonging. And tonight, I actually get to continue that. This morning, if you missed that message, you really want to get along and look at the podcast on YouTube or Spotify, because Pastor James brought a phenomenal word around growing and how important it is. And that's something that's really on our heart as a church. We believe that everybody has been called to grow closer to God, be it in our relationship with Him, be it with our connection or looking at Jesus, not just as an idea, but as a person. In everything, in every area, we've been called to grow more like Him. And to be honest, maturing in Christ is not the easiest thing in the world. I know over the years I've struggled with plenty of things, because at the end of the day, our flesh selves fights against what God's trying to do inside of us, right? And the point of growing is that we never give up. And James was preaching about that this morning, that perseverance in growth is so important. And tonight, I have the privilege of continuing that, because when I think about my life 5, 10 years ago, and I don't know about you guys sitting here, when you think about who you were in the past, man, no, absolutely no shot do I want to go back to that. Like, the person that I was 5, 10 years ago, the way that I thought, the way that I acted, the way that I behaved, even in relationships and friendships, it was never about others. It was always about myself and what I could get. It was very self-focused. And as I've grown, as I've met Him personally and in a real way, and I've spent the last however many years growing in my relationship with Him and spending time with Him, life has gotten so much better. I don't know if you guys can agree to that, but I think about who I was and where I was, and it's not just that my life has gotten better. It's my ability to see other people and to be able to focus on the needs of others, which is something that for me, I never used to think about. And one of the biggest transformations that God has done in my life has been putting the focus on others and the importance of helping others, especially young people with youth and Stacks On and other things that we do. It's about helping them grow just as I have done as well. But the thing is that I have to remind myself that growth is a process. It can be painful. There are going to be things that happen that I didn't foresee, which are going to stop growth in its tracks. About halfway through last year, my parents took off to the UK. They're doing some house sitting over there. And they were like, we're going to be gone for an undisclosed amount of time. Not really sure. Can you take care of a couple of things for us? And we're like, yeah, okay, no worries. That's all good. We can take some boxes in. And our cat's already laughing at this. And so they came over with some boxes and something that we didn't expect, which was a plant. And not just any plant. This was a plant that they've named Cedric. So this is Cedric the plant. And they said to us, hey, thanks for taking care of these boxes, but can you please keep Cedric alive? And we were like, first of all, you know when your parents are getting older, they start naming their plants. Like, that's pretty bad, first of all. But secondly, they obviously had an emotional attachment to this plant. And Kate and myself thought, well, I mean, we've somewhat kept 2 children alive, so I'm sure we can probably keep a plant alive. Like, how hard is that going to be, right? And so we actually got right into this thing where both Kate and myself were asking each other, you know, every Saturday, hey, have you watered Cedric? No, I haven't watered Cedric. Have you watered? Oh, I'll go water Cedric. And so we'd make sure that the plant's in the right place, getting the right amount of sunlight, the right amount of water, the right amount of food. And this thing, I tell you what, it went from a little, tiny little plant into quite, I was very impressed with it, okay? I'm not a green thumb. Yeah, thanks, Ryan. I appreciate that. No, it's good. I'm not a green thumb, so this was an achievement. But little by little, we started to see the leaves start to wilt. And we were like, oh no, what's happening? We've got to fix this. So we tried moving it into more sun, taking it outside for a bit. Maybe the fresh air will do it some good, I don't know. maybe watering a bit less, a bit more. Nothing we did worked. And bit by bit, this plant kept dying till the point where it was beyond return. And I know, Kate's so upset. We had to call my parents and said, look, I'm so sorry. We've killed Cedric. He's dead. We're going to buy a new one and call it Cedric 2.0. But just know that we did everything we could. We don't know what happened. And as I was doing the post-mortem of this plant and taking it out of its pot, I realized what had happened was that its root structure that was in the pot was so full, there was nowhere else for it to grow. So this plant had the right food, the right conditions. It had everything going for it, but the pot that it was in was stopping it from going to the next level. And we didn't realize that. See, you could be living with the right fuel, the right habits, the right intentions. You could be living the right way, and yet there will still be things that you face in your life that will constrict your growth and stop you from going to the next level. So tonight, I want to talk about three stumbling blocks of growth, which are pretty near and dear to my heart because these are things that I know that I've faced over the course of my life, which are not necessarily ones you might think of, but as I've focused on, okay, what's this? What should we be talking about tonight? What do you want us to say? And God really impressed upon me three things that you can deal with them once, but you're going to find yourself at different seasons in your life coming back to them and dealing with them over and over again. So we actually need to get better at identifying when we're going through these stumbling blocks. Is that cool? Awesome. So the first one is actually the first stumbling block that I can have in my growth is actually my desire to grow. We read in Romans 1 where Paul is writing a letter to the Roman church and he says that for I long to visit you so I can bring you some spiritual gift that will help you grow strong in the Lord. When we get together, I want to encourage you in your faith, but I also want to be encouraged by yours. I want you to know, dear brothers and sisters, that I've planned many times to visit you, but I was prevented until now. I want to work among you and see spiritual fruit just as I've seen among the other Gentiles. For I have a great sense of obligation to the people in both the civilized world and rest of the world, to the educated and uneducated alike. And pay attention to this. So I am eager to come to you in Rome to preach the good news. I love this passage for a number of reasons, but the main one is because we actually get a real deep insight into Paul's mindset. Firstly, we see his desire, which was to visit the people of Rome. He desperately wanted to spend time with them and be in community, just like we are here tonight. He wanted to be amongst them so he could learn from them and teach them and get, you know, to and from. The second was his purpose, which was to preach the good news. So as I was reading this, I had to think to myself, well, what was more important to Paul? They're both extremely important, but which mattered most? And why does this matter to us here and now? Well, let me put it to you another way. So I love golf. James Crean in the back there, my guy, he loves golf as well. He understands this. I love golf to the point where I will actually sit down and watch golf on the TV. Like not just playing golf, but I will watch it on the TV. Not just like YouTubers, but like actual PGA comps. The only game that I have on my phone is a golf game. We went away on holidays to Fraser Island. I took my Xbox with me so we could play a golf game with the boys. I love playing golf, right? I have a desire to play golf, but golf is not my purpose. I'm not driven to try to get into the Australian PGA. I love playing the game, but it's not my whole entire being. It's not my purpose. So when life gets busy, and you know, we've now got two kids and we're trying to juggle ministry life, family life, and working out how it all fits together. And when you're busy, it's one of the first things to go. And I don't even think about it. Even though I'd love to go do it, I'm not putting aside the time to do it because really, it's not that important. See, desire is what I want. Desire is what I want, and it can be stopped. See, Paul had a desire to visit Rome. He desperately wanted to be amongst the people, but it wasn't his purpose. His purpose is who he was. Purpose is who we are, and it can't be stopped. See, Paul was an apostle. No matter what he faced, no matter what he went through, He was always about the business of spreading the gospel to the world. He would have loved to go to Rome, but things stopped him. But it didn't stop him from spreading the gospel no matter where he was. So when I think about this and applying this to ourselves with our growth and our walk with God, do I desire to grow into all God has for me? You know, it's what I want, but, you know, life's busy. You know, I'm carrying some hurt from a previous church, previous relationship. Something went wrong. And, you know, like as much as I desire to spend time with God, I'm just so busy, I don't have time to pick up the word. Or is growing into all God has for me my purpose? That it's who I am. That no matter what I face, I will run to Him with all that I have. It's not about you know, what I want with the intent of doing it. It's who I am. And nothing is going to stop me from getting there. See, there's nothing wrong with desire. Let me be clear here. What Paul wanted to do to go to the people in Rome was pure. And maybe your desire is pure as well. Maybe your desire to know who God is, to grow in all the things that He has for Him, for you, is pure, but it's not your purpose, and it can be stopped. See, there's been many times across the course of my life where I've been acting from a place of desire. You know, in my younger years, when I think back to, you know, as a young adult or a teenager, and I'm growing in my relationship with who God is, it was a desire, but it was one of the first things that fell to the wayside when life got busy. And all the while, I was tricking myself into thinking that it actually was my purpose, but it wasn't. See, we read in Matthew 16, Jesus gives us the blueprint to how we should live. And He said to His disciples, "If any of you want to be my follower, you must give up your own way, take up your cross, and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you'll lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it." And in Matthew 6, He says, "Seek the kingdom of God above all else, above everything, above your busyness, above your job, above your personal life. Seek the kingdom above all else. Live righteously, and He'll give everything unto you." So if we are to go from living with desire, a desire to know more of Him, to grow in all He is, to chasing after that growth with purpose, it actually requires us to start sacrificing more. It's a continual sacrifice. This is what Jesus says. He says, "Take up your cross and follow me." It means that I have to sacrifice a part of me in order to build the habits, to build the life that changes desire into purpose. And it's only when I do this that I find security. I find true security, because no longer am I at the mercy of the world, of other things getting in the way of the desire that I have. I have security and purpose, and no matter what, I will never stop chasing after Him. No matter what people say around me, no matter what, you know, life can throw so many curveballs at us that try to take us out. And the moment that you say, "You know what, Jesus, I'm going to follow after You and I'm going to give everything to You," the enemy is going to throw everything that he can back at you to knock you out of that game, because he knows how much of a powerhouse you could be if your life was a purpose-filled life in growing with Him. So as we learn to sacrifice, to put aside moments, half an hour throughout the first parts of the day, we can start seeing this desire become purpose. I just seeing the rain coming down. I was like, why is everyone distracted? It's the rain. Love it. Will I allow it to become a thing that gives me growth? Or will it become a stumbling block? The second thing is my response to conviction. My response to conviction. Mark 10, verse 17. As Jesus was starting out on His way to Jerusalem, a man came running up to Him. He knelt down and asked, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus responds, "You know the commandments." Thanks, Willow. "You know the commandments. You must not murder. You must not commit adultery. You must not steal. You must not testify falsely. You must not cheat anyone. Honor your father and mother.
"Teacher," the man replied, "I've obeyed all these commandments since I was young. And looking at the man, Jesus felt genuine love for him. "There is still one thing you haven't done," he told him. "Go and sell all your possessions and give money to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me." At this, the man's face fell and he went away sad, for he had many possessions. Now, I find this passage particularly confronting because, by all accounts, this was a good man. This was a man who was living the way that he'd been taught to since he was young. By his own words, he said that he'd been following the commands since he was young. And yet, when Jesus brings conviction to him in this one moment about this area that he was holding on to, it was the one thing that he couldn't let go to, and he walked away. I find that confronting to myself because would I be any different? I'd like to think so. But it's hard when you're faced with that reality, because the truth is, when I think that I'm at my best, that's when conviction hurts the most. See, Jesus wanted the man to follow him. Jesus, it says, "Give all you have, then come and follow me." Jesus wanted the man to be with him, to follow him, to learn from him, to grow close from him, but he couldn't. He couldn't do it. He couldn't let go. And so how I respond to conviction, no matter how painful that conviction may be, actually matters. Now, Willow, one of her favorite shows on TV is Bluey. Yeah, you. One of her favorite shows is Bluey, and she loves coming down in the morning to watch Bluey on the TV. One of her favorite episodes, for some reason, if anybody has not seen Bluey, I'm sorry, but I'm just going to tell you a little bit about Bluey. One of the favorite episodes she has is where the dad's playing musical instruments on the kids and playing bum bongos in particular. So playing bum bongos on the kid. Willow loves it when we play bum bongos on her. Anyway, I was lying on the couch watching TV, and Willow decides to come up to me, and she's been playing bum bongos with us. We'll be doing stuff. She'll walk up behind us and smack us on the bum and just be like, "Haha, bum bongos. Oh, yeah, it's funny. Yeah, you know, you're two, all right?" She walks up to me and then starts smacking on my stomach. And I'm like, "Oh, what are you doing?" She's like, "I'm playing belly bongos." I'm like, "Don't you mean bum bongos?" She goes, "No, Daddy, belly bigger, belly bongos." I'm like, oh, man, like, I'm telling you, I was feeling pretty good about myself until that moment, and then I started to reconsider the way that I've been living and the way that I was, you know, my health. Truth is, what she said is probably not wrong, but the way she brought about it was pretty painful. It had, you know, it took my breath back a little bit winded. See, when God brings conviction to you, he's not trying to offend you. He's trying to bring a reality check to you. He's not trying to, like Willow, come up and just smack you on the stomach for the sense of insulting you. No, no, no. He's pointing out things that you need to deal with in your life. In John 15, he says that, "I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit so they will produce even more. You have already been pruned and purified by the message I have given you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me." What does this mean? That as we walk with him, as we choose to follow after him, to grow into everything that he has for us, we're going to be pruned. There are going to be times when God will put his finger on something in your life that hurts. And he's not doing it to insult you or offend you. He's doing it because if you are going to continue growing and produce more fruit, that area of your life needs to go. Maybe you've been dealing with something here for the longest time that you've just been putting down and putting to the side. I want to tell you, if you want to grow beyond that, you need to address it. You cannot continue to walk into everything God has for you if there are things that are holding you back. It's the truth of the matter. And he says it right here. It hurts. And the problem is we've got into this habit as a society when God puts his finger on things in our life that we act like children. Like the other morning, I came down and Willow was there at the fridge. This is like 5 o'clock in the morning, holding chocolate and saying, I have chocolate for breakfast. Like, no, you can't have chocolate for breakfast. And it was like the world had come to an end. It was like she was crying and screaming. And it's like, she doesn't understand that chocolate for breakfast is bad for her. And I'm not doing it to punish her. I'm doing it because I love her. And we have the same, we do the same thing. We act like children when we're confronted. I'm here to tell you, you do not have a monopoly on being hurt. Everybody is going through something that is hurting them. God is pointing out things in all of our lives that are uncomfortable and that we're trying to work on. But unless we accept it and we accept that the process of pruning is worth it, we're never going to grow beyond it. So if you're here in this place tonight and God's been touching some area of your life that you know that you need to let go of, you've got three options. The first one is you can reject it and walk away. And to be honest, I hope no one does that, because I couldn't even begin to imagine a life without walking with Him. The second, and this is the one that most of us do, and I've been guilty of this myself, it's we accept it conditionally. We go, okay, yep, no, I know that this is an area of my life that I need to fix, but I'm only going to work on it, you know, for now. Once life starts getting busy again, I'll sort of forget about it and slip back into old habits. Or, no, this year is going to be the year that I set out to read the Bible every single day. This is the year that I set out to do this, or whatever it might be. And quickly we fall back into old habits because we've accepted it with conditions. Which leads us to the third one, is that we accept it and we commit to it. And this is the hardest one for us to do, because committing to stuff is hard. Committing to stuff long-term is tough, and it's gonna hurt. The process is painful, but it's worth it, because a life with Him is so much better than one without Him. And I think I'm just so grateful for what He's done and what He's led both myself and Kate through. I couldn't even begin, like I've said, to imagine what life might be like. And it's worth the price of pruning. So when I'm faced with conviction, will I allow it to bring me growth, or will it become a stumbling block? And then the last one is my lack of guidance. In Exodus 18, we read about Moses, where they were in the wilderness and he was taking his seat for the day. And it says that the next day, Moses took his seat to hear the people's disputes against each other. They waited before him from morning till evening. And when Moses' father-in-law saw all that Moses was doing for the people, he asked, "What are you really accomplishing here? Why are you trying to do all of this alone while everyone stands around you from morning till evening?" And Moses replied, "Because the people have come to me to get a ruling from God. When a dispute arises, they come to get me, and I am the one who settles the case between the quarreling parties. I inform the people of God's decrees and give them His instructions." And Moses' father-in-law responds by saying, "This is not good. You're going to wear yourself out and the people too." So it's not just about wearing yourself out, it's about wearing others out too. "This job is too heavy a burden for you to handle by yourself." And in verse 24, it says that Moses listened to his father-in-law's advice and followed his suggestions. See, Moses was leading the only way that he knew how to. You have to remember that he was raised in Pharaoh's palace. So he saw how the Egyptians ruled, and this was the way that he decided to implement it for himself, because he knew no other way. Unfortunately, what worked in Egypt wasn't working now. And he didn't recognize that what he was doing was actually holding him back. So when I think about myself, I have to ask the question, who is helping to guide me as I grow? Is there someone in your life who you can look to when you have questions, when you're unsure about the word or what's been preached, or even a dream or a vision that God has given you? Is someone in your life there that you can go to? See, when I was learning to drive, I had never grown up driving a manual. My parents were both lazy by their own admission and said, "No, we only drive autos now." And having driven for a long time, I understand. Driving manual can be, you know, whatever. But so as I was learning to drive, I had to learn how to drive manual because it's just what you do. If you got your auto license, I'm sorry, you try harder. Get your manual license. But so I was learning how to drive, and my driving instructor was good, but she didn't teach me all of the things that you might want to let someone know who's never driven manual before, including how to work the clutch. That took me a while to get used to. And I remember one time we were driving along, and it was about peak school time, so there was crazy traffic. And we're coming through an area on the Sunshine Coast that is renowned for being just, you know, backed up when it's school time. So I'm driving along, come up to the traffic, and I got stuck in probably a 45, 50-minute traffic jam in a driving lesson, which was great for me because it meant that my hours went up. But I didn't realize that when the car was in neutral, you could take your foot off the clutch. All right, let that sink in for a second. So I sat there for 50 minutes in a traffic jam with the car in neutral, holding my foot down on the clutch. Now, you might not think that that's a big deal, but can I tell you, after 50 minutes of pushing a pedal down, your legs are on fire. And I remember, like, my leg was doing the shakes, and I was like, mate, this is so embarrassing. So I let my foot off the clutch, and the driving instructor looked at me, and she goes, you all right? And I goes, no, my leg is cramping up. And she's like, why is your leg cramping up? I said, oh, it's been on the clutch the whole time. She's like, what? Why? And so I explained to her that I didn't realize that you could take your foot off the clutch. Now, had I never had this experience, yes, I would have had like rocks for quads. I would have had legs of tree trunks, but I would have never learned how to drive properly. Right? And we will never grow into what God has intended for us without the wisdom and guidance of others. In Hebrews 10, it says, let us think of ways to motivate one another with acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together. This is the church, as we do. But encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. It's so important that we have people in our lives that we can turn to. And when we look at this passage in itself could be a sermon. But there are three things that actually stand out to me that I think that we can put in place that will help us identify and actually allow us to put those above us who can help guide us. The first is that Moses, the man who led the Israelites out of Egypt, the man that stood before Pharaoh, who worked the miracles, who parted the Red Sea and led the people as they went through, he needed help. You are never too mature in your faith for the wisdom of others. When I think of my life now and where we're at in ministry and what we're doing, I need more guidance now than I did 5 years ago. You will get to places in your life where you're thinking, man, I wish that I had done something a different way. I promise you, find someone that can speak into you. Which just leads to the second thing, is that he listened to his father-in-law. He didn't listen to the crowd. He listened to his father-in-law. Who we listen to matters. Some of you, and I can say this for certain because I've been there, have got terrible voices speaking into us. We've got friendships, we've got work colleagues, we've got circumstance, all of these voices that are speaking terrible advice and terrible wisdom over us. This is why grow groups is such a critical part of what we do at Church Unlimited. If you're not part of a grow group, I encourage you, get in one. Scan the QR code on the back of the seat and get in one, because the amount that I've learned from being a part of a group where we've got vulnerability and we're open and we're able to talk to one another, we're able to ask those questions, has been such a critical part of my growth. And it doesn't matter whether you're leading one or whether you're a part of one, there is always room for more. And that leads us to the last one, which is that he listened and followed instruction. We're great at absorbing wisdom. We're not great at outworking it. And what this shows us is that we shouldn't just be a sponge that absorbs all the wisdom we can. without actually putting it into action. We need to use that wisdom in order to change things, in order to find a different way, and to understand that when, like Moses' father-in-law, he wasn't saying this to insult Moses' leadership and the way he was doing things. He was showing him a perspective that he'd never seen before. And we have to humble ourselves a little bit to understand that when someone brings me wisdom, I'm not just absorbing it, I'm putting it into action, because they're not trying to insult me and how I'm doing things. They want me to do better, to grow closer to him. So will I allow the wisdom and guidance of others to bring growth, or will the lack of it become a stumbling block in my faith? See, our heart, again, is that everybody at Church Unlimited, from kids all the way up to royals, would continue to grow in who he is, in their understanding of Jesus, not as an idea, but as a person. That there would be a depth to us being together, that we're able to grow together through different seasons and different walks. And I wonder, in 5 to 10 years' time, will I look back on this moment now and still think, man, life has gotten so much better? Or am I going to look back and think, what happened? What was it, my desire to grow, that held me back? Did I have every intent in knowing him, but just never made it my purpose? Well, I want to encourage you, let it become who you are. Run to him with everything that you've got. Was it my response to conviction that there was something that God put his finger on in my life and I couldn't move past it? The process of pruning is worth it. Remember that. It may be painful, but the fruit that it will produce is worth the process. Or was it my lack of guidance? Did I refuse to humble myself and accept that I actually need help? Did I not choose the right counsel, the right person to talk to? Or did I listen? Did I do all of these things? Did I listen, but I didn't put them into action? If we are to grow, we have to understand that without him, I am nothing. Without him and what he has done, I am just a shell. And my life has no purpose. It has no meaning. And I want to grow into everything that he has for me. This is why it's such an important part because I look at the kids and the next generation and think, if we're not doing what we need to do, what are they going to grow up into? It's always about who's coming next. It's always about others. And this is the thing that has challenged me over the course of my faith journey, where I was so inwardly focused. And God's changed my heart to see the need for the next generation, for everyone here to encounter him in a way that they've never done before, to grow in such a deep way because we committed to it. So tonight, I want to spend a little bit of time in worship. Could I grab the band back up? Sorry, I should have said that earlier. But I want to spend a little bit of time in worship, and I really want to just touch on these areas. Maybe you're here tonight and you've had a desire to know him, to grow close to him. You've had a desire to follow after him, but it keeps getting put aside. Life keeps getting in the way, and you're saying, you know what? This has to become my purpose, because otherwise I'm just going to keep bouncing backwards and forwards, and I don't want to do that. I want to go forward. Maybe you're here and you're thinking that, I know God has put his finger on an area of my life that I need to reconcile, but I've just kept pushing it to the side because it hurts too much to even start to unpack that. I don't even know where it would lead me. Can I encourage you, when you unpack it with him, it'll lead you to better things, but it takes a step of faith to allow him to let that work begin. Or maybe you're here and you're just seeking counsel and wisdom, that you've been doing this walk alone. He said, no, I don't want to do this alone anymore. I want to walk with other people. I need someone in my life. Can I encourage you? No one in this house wants you to do more for him than the people around you. The people on the front row, Pastor Ray, Pastor Charlotte, Pastor Dan. Ron, everybody in this place wants to see you grow and understand the depth of his love for you. So as the team leads us in worship, can we just stand to our feet for a moment? I want to encourage you, don't let tonight pass you by. It's scriptural that we're supposed to exit his house different to the way that we arrived. And if there's something in your life that you need to deal with, can I encourage you, come to the front so our team can pray for you? Because we want to see you continue to grow into everything that he has for you, to not fall to the same stumbling blocks. Because the truth is, maybe you've dealt with these things once, but they're starting to come up again. Maybe it's time that you look at your life again and say, you know what? I need to put a line in the sand right here and now. So if that's you, as the team leads us in worship, I encourage you, don't wait. Come to the front so we can pray for you. Because I tell you what, life with him is everything.
Thanks for joining us. We pray that you and your family are richly blessed by the love and grace of Jesus. If you're ever in the area, we would love for you to join us for Sunday worship.